Hello and welcome to The Preservationists, the monthly radio show for fans of local historic architecture, the history of unique buildings, and the people from our community working to preserve and restore them. I'm Astronomus Ray, the Vice President and a board member at Lower Columbia Preservation Society, and the host of The Preservationists. Today, I'm joined by Tiffany Taylor, the City of Astoria City Planner. In honor of May being National Preservation Month, we will be discussing the Dr. Harvey Awards. The City of Astoria has traditionally celebrated National Preservation Month by presenting the Dr. Edward Harvey Historic Preservation Award to those who have contributed to the city's preservation and architectural heritage. Today, we are diving into where it all began, with the histories, stories, and impact that the Dr. Harvey Awards have on the community. Tiffany, do you mind introducing yourself?
Yes, thank you. So again, my name's Tiffany Taylor, and if you were to come into the city or give us a call, you'll reach me if you have any historic questions. Of course, we have many historic homes here in Astoria, so a lot of people have questions about how to deal with their homes and what they can do, and I would be your contact person.
How long have you been with the city?
6 years now.
Wow, awesome. So with May being Preservation Month, one way that the city celebrates is the Dr. Edward Harvey Awards. Can you tell me a little bit about what these awards are?
Sure. The Historic Preservation Award, it really is named after Dr. Edward Harvey, as you mentioned, and he was a pioneer in recognizing the importance of historic preservation in Astoria. So when Dr. Harvey passed away in 1987, the Historic Landmarks Commission wanted to find a way to acknowledge his efforts. And so in his honor, the commission created this annual competitive award. And in fact, we're celebrating 37 years presenting awards to our local homeowners and individuals.
And it's the city that gives out these awards?
Right. So they're selected by the Historic Landmarks Commission, and then the mayor traditionally presents the award during a city council meeting in May.
Is there a specific reason why these awards were started? Obviously, Astoria is very rich in history, and we have a lot of historic architecture. But was there a leading reason to why these awards were needed in Astoria?
Again, it really was to honor Dr. Harvey. When the commission learned of his passing, you know, they were saddened by it, and that was the motivator to create the award. And up to that time, there really wasn't a historic designation process for our local landmarks, and this was a way to kind of continue what he had started.
And to go back into the history of who Dr. Harvey was he a historian? Was he a big part of our preservation community out here? Do we have any knowledge of who he was as a person?
We do. We actually don't have a lot of history about him specifically. He was originally from Massachusetts, and professionally he specialized in seafood. And in fact, he co-founded the Oregon State University Seafood Lab here in Astoria. But back in 1944, Dr. Harvey and his wife moved to Astoria and purchased the Captain Gray House located at 1687 Grand. And this house, it was the first house built on Astoria's Grand Avenue hillside back in the 1880s. So he was a hobbyist in the preservation area. When he began renovating his own home, he really took pride in it. Brought a lot of the sensibilities from the East Coast to the newer city of Astoria on the West Coast in comparison. And sometime in the 1960s, he looked around his own neighborhood and noticed that most of the homes were suffering from neglect. And so this is what motivated him. And in fact, many of these older homes were in desperate need of a repair, and the city was starting its own demolition program to demolish some of them, if you can believe it. It's hard to imagine that the Favelle Mansion was once on the demolition list and was to make way for a parking lot. So it's alarming to hear that now, but back in the 1960s, it was really a state of disrepair for a lot of the homes. Dr. Harvey did it. He took it upon himself to educate the public and for the public to recognize the value of historic preservation. The fun part of the story is that he took the back of old highway signs and he hand-painted in calligraphy a brief history of a particular home, and then he would present it formally, the sign, to the homeowners of his choosing. So it was very informal, but much to the delight of his neighbors, they liked to see him. And slowly these signs appeared throughout the city. Sometimes if Dr. Harvey didn't like a new house color, their historic plaque might just disappear in the middle of the night. But today you see many of these original signs mounted on the walls of a home or on a fence post. So he really was the pioneer and founder of that movement in the city.
Wow, that is really cool to hear. And with these Dr. Harvey Awards, they're given out annually by the city. How do people receive these awards? Is this a nomination process?
Yeah, great question. So nominations, as they come in, they can be residential, commercial, or even institutional. Even an individual could be nominated. Priority is given to buildings located within the city and those that have been designated as historic. But this year's residential category winner actually does not even have a historic designation. It's located in Alderbrook, which we have not yet done a historic inventory for, created a district there. It's known as the Dexter House. If there are any Dexter fans out there, the very last episode of the series back in 2013, I believe, Dexter is in an unknown named town in the Pacific Northwest, working in the logging industry, and the last scene of the series is filmed at this house. So it went through probably the last 4 years, pretty extensive renovation, and was the recipient for this year's residential category.
Nice. Yeah. For anybody that's a first-time nominator, how do you go about nominating an actual site or a potential place for the Dr. Harvey Awards?
So submitting a nomination is actually really easy. We have a one-page nomination form. You can definitely nominate yourself. You can nominate an individual, or maybe you're walking or passing by something you find, especially pleasing. You can certainly send that nomination in. Before and after pictures always have the most impact when they're being considered. And then staff does a lot of research to look at what type of work they've had done, if they've received permits. That does fall under some of the criteria to have those approvals. But it is a simple process, so it's not complicated at all. So we really encourage people to nominate any projects they think that's worthy.
And what do the recipients of the Dr. Harvey Award get? Is there a plaque involved? Is this just an award? Is there anything special that's done for these recipients outside of the city council meeting?
Absolutely. They are recognized at city council. The mayor has a plaque that they officially present to them. We've had a lot of fun these last few years. We have Column Man arrive, and it's part of a nice photo op. It's really great when the recipients bring in their family, their friends, the entire crew that worked on the project to highlight their craftsmanship. It's one of those feel-good moments, smiles all around. Everybody is really excited.
That sounds like a really special time. So how many of these awards are given out each year?
Well, it's really entirely up to the Historic Landmarks Commission. They look at all of the nominations and they really do pick the best. It just depends on how many there are. They can establish a category. They can create a category as well. Typically, if you look past the last 37 years, they'll pick one from a residential category and then one from a commercial.
Do you have any memorable or notable Dr. Harvey Awards recipients from your experience?
I mean, of course, in the last 6 years that I've been involved in the process, really last year's honorable mention in the residential category stands out for me. And that's because when I called the homeowner to let them know of the good news, she was just absolutely floored by it, had no idea that anybody was even paying attention to what, her and her family have been doing over the years. So our city historian, John Goodenberger, he had actually nominated the home, and he stated in his nomination form that I've watched this house for well over a decade, and the owners did restoration as they could afford to do so, and it started with a couple of windows and worked its way to siding and a renovated porch, and it's a great example of tenacity. And that's what sticks out for me, because that's the spirit, really, of this preservation award. And it was just really a special moment. She was so excited. She stated that she was thrilled when she received it. All of the workers who had worked on the home were there, too, to be recognized. It was just a great moment. So I thought that You know, it could really be anyone. It doesn't have to be a major large house like a Full Valley mansion. It could be the home that you live in and you have special care over a decade restoring the home.
Yeah, of course. Is there a big number of participation in the nominations for the Dr. Harvey Awards?
Some years we've had, you know, 12, 15, and it's really hard to narrow them down because there's so many worthy of the awards, which is why I like the rule of in the past 2 years, because we can bring them back in front of the commission to be considered again, which is great. Some years there's just a few. And in fact, this is one of those years. It's really, COVID did a number on a lot of projects, and you know, people didn't have extra money for maybe some preservation projects. So here we are a few years after the pandemic, and there weren't that many nominations this year, you know, to consider. But the ones that did come up, you know, were definitely worthy as well. So that's always fun.
Is there anything else you'd like to add about the Dr. Harvey Awards?
You know, the city's tagline or motto is literally where preservation meets progress. So our history directly feeds into our identity. And it's really a great time to recognize our past and our efforts, our resiliency as a community. For me personally, I am not from Astoria. I moved here about 8 or 9 years ago, and I chose Astoria. And how that came about is I was on a trip, and I, you know, arrived here, and I just thought, these are my people. I just really identified with the Scandinavian roots, an area where the industries of logging and the river and the ocean, you know, give life but can take life. And it was a community that was strong and resilient, and its fabric and architectural identity really lends to that self. So
thank you so much for chatting with me today, Tiffany. Up next, I will be speaking with Rosemary Johnson. But before we get into that, I would like to take a minute to talk about our organization, Lower Columbia Preservation Society, LCPS. So LCPS is a local nonprofit seeking to preserve the history, sites, and culture of communities bordering the Columbia River in Clatsop, Pacific, and Wakayakum counties. Some of the projects we work on is researching undefined neighborhoods, creating self-guided walking tours, helping people research the history of their historic homes or buildings, and just navigating the ins and outs of maintenance and restoration. We also connect with community members, craftspeople, and partner with other local organizations. Every third Wednesday of the month, LCPS hosts a Topics in Preservation at the LCPS office, located on 389 12th Street in downtown Astoria. And this is an open event to the public, and we encourage everyone to attend and join the conversation. It's a casual roundtable style event and an opportunity for anyone interested in historic buildings, architecture, and history to talk about these topics. If you're interested in becoming a member of LCPS, be sure to visit our website at www.lcpsociety.org, and you can sign up. Now, I would like to introduce my next guest, Rosemary Johnson.
Hey, I'm Rosemary Johnson. I came to the city in 1980 and went to work for the city as a senior parking control officer. I eventually became the city planner and historic preservation officer and retired in 2014, but I loved it so much that I continue with the city as a contract planner, and a lot of that is working on the historic preservation. I also serve on the Oregon Heritage Commission, which is a governor-appointed representative of the entire North Coast down to the Tillamook area. I own an 1880 Italianate house, and I've been restoring it since 1992. I don't think I'll see it complete in my lifetime, but we all have to remember that we're only stewards of these homes, and there have been previous owners, and there's going to be owners after me who will complete it.
Can you tell me a little bit about Dr. Edward Harvey and his significance in the historic preservation community?
He promoted historic preservation on a formal basis, and he was instrumental in getting the Historic Advisory Committee established, which eventually became the Historic Landmarks Commission. Dr. Harvey was one of the early recipients of the Chamber of Commerce George Award in 1964, so he was very active in the community and well-liked. He was just, he loved history and especially the architecture of the area.
So the Dr. Harvey Awards began as a way to kind of honor what Dr. Harvey's work was in pushing preservation in this area. From your time in the city to, you know, after retiring and to now present day, have you noticed that there was an evolution at all with these awards? Have they always been kind of the standardized thing? What happens when you get an award?
Okay. The award has changed a little bit over the years, but not very much. The criteria has pretty much stayed the same. It has to be work that's been completed within the last 2 years, except for individuals that can be a lifetime achievement type award or a special award for special projects. Priority has always been given to National Register properties or local landmarks, but a property doesn't even have to be designated historic to receive the award. And so it's to recognize even if you're not historic, you can still be doing historically accurate work on your home or building. They also give consideration to make sure that you've gotten all the necessary permits and things. Over the years, they've added the individual category. Originally, you would have governments, institutions, residential, and then they added the individual category for those who had a special achievement in their lifetime. Some years, it was definitely very competitive, and only one person or one building would get the award in each category. Other years, the commission has determined that more than one were equally eligible for the award, and they wanted to recognize the good work by everybody. But usually it's only one in each category. It's up to the Historic Landmarks Commission each year. The award itself has changed a little bit. It originally was just a certificate, which was important, but you would receive the certificate. And then for many years, it was a hand-drawn black and white sketch of the building that was framed with the certificate. The certificate now is printed over a kind of a washed out picture of the building. So it has your building on the certificate, and then it's framed with a pin of the city. And so that's some of the ways it's changed. Other than that, it has pretty much stayed the same for most of its history.
And you actually were a recipient of this Dr. Harvey Award. Can you tell me about the journey that led up to, because obviously you've been restoring it for a long time. What was the journey like in restoring your home?
Oh, that's a long story of blood, sweat, and tears and lots of money. We bought the home not knowing how bad it was. And we started working on it. We'd work full time. We had a family. We still did other things. And we were doing most of the work ourselves. So it took a long time to restore. We were trying to do the interior sensitive to the historic. So we were returning it to the original wood floors. All of the windows, and there's over 35 windows in our house, we hand restored each window, taking it out, reglazing it, and retaining the wood window, which is over 100 years old and is still good if you maintain them. You don't have to replace them. There was a lot of effort that went into it. And for years, I saw other people getting the awards and always dreamed that it would someday maybe I could get it. And in 2020, we finally nominated the building. We had enough of the outside complete that it was eligible for the award. So it was an honor and a great recognition of all that hard work we put into it. And I know how other people must feel when they receive it. It's quite an honor.
Absolutely. Now, what is the significance in having Dr. Harvey Awards? Why is it important to continue with this?
You know, the Dr. Harvey Award recognizes good work by people, and it shows off our community. We're a historic community, And our historic heritage is what makes us who we are. Heritage is a big economic driver for Astoria and the state, and it brings a lot of tourist dollars and development investment dollars to this community. So it has a bigger impact than just to the person themselves. And we need to be proud of what we've preserved here. Many communities throughout the state have destroyed their heritage, and we did not. We celebrate it, and we are known around the state for what good we've done in historic preservation. The city of Astoria is a certified local government, which is a state historic designation for historic preservation programs. We're also one of only 7 cities in the state to be designated an all-star heritage community by the State Historic Preservation Office. That designation requires compliance with 15 of 24 criteria, which includes work with historic cemeteries and museums and schools and much more. And so we have made our place on the state level, and people come to see what we've done, both professionally and as tourists. We also have 2 state-designated heritage traditions. These are traditions that have been active for at least 50 years, and one of them is the Astoria Regatta since 1894, and the other is the Astoria Scandinavian Festival since 1968. Dr. Harvey Awards celebrate this. It celebrates our heritage and that continued work that our citizens do and the pride that we take in our community that has led to these state designations. Harvey Awards may not seem like a lot to some people, but it's important to the people who receive them.
Yeah, and what was the city council meeting like when you actually received the Dr. Harvey Award?
Ours was during COVID, and so we had to stay our distance, but we were all there with our masks and receiving the award. So that was a little bit of a downer because the room wasn't full of people to celebrate with us, but we knew that other people were listening and our friends would know about it. But it was not a relief, but it felt so good to know that someone recognized what we had done.
And that was probably a very memorable time for you. During your time working for the city and doing the Dr. Harvey Awards, were there any specific nominations or recipients that were also memorable?
Every person's home is their castle. It would not be right to cite one individual home over another one because every year and every award is special to that recipient. Some buildings are not as fancy or as pretty as others, but that work was important to those people. So I don't want to cite one residential over another or even a commercial. However, I will talk about one award that was early in my career with the Dr. Harvey Awards, and that was the U.S. Post Office. And I said that generally the work is for exterior work unless it's a public open space. Well, the post office decided that they were going to construct a elevator in the middle of the lobby and break up that lobby space, which a lot of post offices have lost that grand lobby open space. And so we worked with the local post office and the office in Washington, D.C., and we encouraged them to find an alternative so that they didn't destroy that public space. They hired Rickenbaugh Construction, and Rickenbaugh was able to design an elevator that fit into an office space. They even went to the original quarry to get the marble to match so that the new elevator blended in with the lobby and was not cutting up the space. It was a big success for our department in encouraging the post office to do this voluntarily and preserving that grandeur that is lost in a lot of modern architecture. The other one that comes to mind, again, not residential or commercial, was the Franklin Street Bridge. The city engineering department went above and beyond. Engineers generally are looking at function, but we had the privilege of having city engineers who saw the value in historic preservation. And so when they were restoring and rebuilding the Franklin Street Bridge, they paid attention to the architecture of the bridge and made it look a little more historic so that it blended in with the historic neighborhood. And they received the award for that work in 2011.
That is really, really cool. And is there anything else that would help with your nomination if you're nominating yourself?
Before and after pictures are wonderful. That really tells your story. So anyone who's doing historic restoration, I encourage you to do the before and after pictures. Even yourself, if you don't even nominate yourself for the award or someone nominates you, having those pictures will really help you to realize how much work you did. It's a lifelong record of that building. And people don't always do that. They just start working and you don't preserve that ugly picture. You want to take those before and after pictures, if at all possible. One of the things, kind of a side, with all of our restoration, while the Dr. Harvey Award is not for interior, you know, you're still proud of all that interior work that you do. And a lot of us hope that we find things in the walls. You want to find something that tells the story of the house of the previous owners. And so as we have done our work, we have left things in the walls. I write a letter about who we are. I put a picture of the family. I describe why I did a room the way I did. And then I leave some trinket, like maybe some uncirculated coins from that year, and place it in the wall so that future property owners, when they go to restore my home, will have some record of who I was and what my family did to the house.
That's amazing. Is there anything that you wish more people knew about the Dr. Harvey Awards?
It's an important award to showcase what we have done in this community. We need to celebrate those. What I'd like to leave people with is, don't be shy. It's not hard, but it means a lot to the recipient and to the city as a whole because of not only the historic portion of it, but the economic portion of historic preservation. You can preserve. It's good for the environment because you're reusing existing buildings and existing wood windows. It's good for the economy because of what it brings to the area and how it elevates the value of your property. And so historic preservation can be the catalyst for a community to become better and to make their mark on the state and on the nation.
Well, very, very well said. Well, thank you so much for joining me today on this show. This was so great to hear all the stories about Dr. Harvey Awards and, you know, your own personal restoration of your home. That's amazing.
Well, thank you for having me and for your interest in the Dr. Harvey and historic preservation. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you to my guests for this month, Tiffany Taylor and Rosemary Johnson, for discussing the Dr. Edward Harvey Awards with me, for May being National Preservation Month. Thank you for listening to The Preservationist. We hope you tune in again next month. The Preservationist airs every third Tuesday of the month at 9:30 a.m. on KMUN. Until next time, I'm your host, Astronomist Ray, and thanks for listening. I'd like to give a special thanks to the team here at KMUN, the staff, volunteers, and members of the Lower Columbia Preservation Society, and thank you to Camila Swordlaw for producing our theme song. Thanks for listening to The Preservationist, and remember, anyone can be a preservationist. Preservationist is a production of the Lower Columbia Preservation Society, written and produced for KMUN. Thanks for tuning in.